And it is important that as you sit down, that you have clearly in your heart the apostolic vision that you should be following. Because what the devil has done is to divert us into various pursuits, various missions that will not lead us to where we ought to be. Hallelujah. But today we're asking that the Lord will have mercy upon us. He will refocus us. Hallelujah. You know, He will sharpen the vision. He will strengthen our hands and our hearts. And He will equip us, anoint us, and set us loose to run, to achieve God's focus for you and God's focus for us. So you may ask, what is the end point of our faith? Jesus said, what shall it profit a man to, you know, you do everything, but you lose your soul. What shall it profit after all these labors and we miss the mark? There is a mark that Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is a measurement that my soul and your soul must come up to. There is a measure by which God measures every soul. Hallelujah. You know, on Thursday night, we were talking about the rebirth of the soul, the new birth of the new of the soul, about the experience of the soul, about the change that must take place in my soul. And I want you to visualize, to look inward, to understand that your soul is in a certain condition. And there is a condition in which God actually wants it to be. When we look at all right, let's start from Luke 24. Because this evening I want us to talk about spiritual warfare. Now, you can't fight what you don't know. You know, you must know what we are fighting in order to win. Luke 24, I think verse 35, and I think 45. It's about those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. These were brethren like you and me. And it's possible that some of us are in this place. And that's why we say, Lord, Babao, have mercy upon us. The Bible tells us that these two brethren, they were walking on the road, and Jesus joined them, but they did not know that it was Jesus. Amen. How is that possible? Jesus joined them, but they couldn't see him. There was a problem with the with their perception, with their ability to perceive, to see. Hallelujah. And they were concerned about what had happened, but the Bible says that their vision was holding, that they couldn't see him. That's in verse 16. Yes. Verse 15 says, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew nigher and went with them. But their eyes were holding, that they should not know him." Hallelujah. And my prayer today, oh God, is that my eyes will be anointed afresh. That I will see Jesus. Amen. Now, in verse 31, it says, "As they sat at meat, that he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Hallelujah. We've been speaking about change in lifestyle. Change from what to what? That is something you must see. Nobody can buy the oil for you. You just have to cry out to God, say, "God, open my eyes to see." You know, that blind man said, "Lord, heal me, give me, restore my sight." I will pray today that God will touch us deep down in our soul, as he did to these brethren, and that our sight will be opened. Verse 35, "And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread." There's a place where you know Christ. We should not have that impression that we cannot know God. We can know him. And one of the places where we can know him is in the breaking of the bread. And he is the bread of life. So as we come to God, we're asking, I say, "Lord, open my eyes that I might know you." Verse 45. Scripture says, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." In some places, you only apply that to money. When you want money, you ask, God will give it to you. When you seek, you will find. But here, he's speaking of something else. He said, "Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Hallelujah. I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 6. There is a reason why we are speaking like this. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You know, it's possible that we may not be strong. The psalmist says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." It was a knowledge. It was something he knew. You know, when he came, when he faced challenges, he knew he had a stronghold, and it was the Lord. And it's a prayer that God will bring each and every one of us to that place where we know that the Lord is the strength, or can be the strength of our lives. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You know, when you are engaged in spiritual warfare, it is not a fight of one day. It's not a fight of 2 days. It's a fight of life. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes the devil is wise. He knows you are now in the conference and there's a lot of power and energy, so he runs away from you. But he says, "Don't worry, I will get him, I will get her in a territory where the brethren are not there. And then I know what I'm going to do." Amen. So this warfare takes place in different fronts, at different settings, in different conditions. And on Thursday, we are looking at the source of the warfare. And the source of the warfare is within my soul. If I'm going to be strong in the Lord, then I'm going to be strong in dealing with the altar within my soul. You know, Jesus said to them, if you want to heal yourself, if you want to, you want God to address the problem in your life, say, first of all, take away the log in your eye, is it not? Before you can see the speck. You know, most of the time, we would like to shift the blame. He did this, they did that, they didn't do this. The brethren, the fellowship, this and that. We haven't come to the plate. We have not come to the table. We have not yet decided to engage or to overcome. You know, like we'll be praying, say, "Lord, I want to change." If you want to change, the first step is to identify the altar within your soul. We have an example. There's a young man called Gideon. He was complaining, "Oh God, you have not done this. Oh God, we are the Midianites," and so on and so. He complained and complained too much. It's okay. Let us address his issue. They went to him, sent an angel. And they said, "Mighty man of valor." He said, "What, me?" Anyway, at the end of the story, he began to question God. He said, "Oh God, why is this?" God said, "Fine. Step number one, what do you do? Go and break the idols." Where? In your father's house. Can you tell me the father's house? Brother, where is the father's house? Amen. You don't want to respond? He told him, "Go and break down the idols." Where? In your father's. I'm sure you are thinking of your father's house in the village. That one needs to be addressed also. But before you go, before you run to your village, I wish to advertise you that you should start from the father's house first. Amen. You must start from this father's house. He said, in my father's house, there are what? Many mansions. This is the father's house. And he's telling us that there is an idol, there is an altar there. Hallelujah. Now the devil will make sure you are, you know, you can do pray, fast, do everything, as long as you are not discussing with God about the altar in your soul. Amen. The day you begin to discuss, you say, ah, this one is a dangerous. And then he will do everything to distract you, divert you, subvert you, do everything to make sure that you are not even thinking about it. Give you money, send friends, you know, do different things just to divert your attention. But for the man, for the woman, for the child, who wants to do God's will? The first step is to break down the altar in the father's house. There's not too much English in it, too much grammar in it. You know, it's something that you have got to deal with. Of course, your father may be a Christian, your father may be this or that, your parents may be so and so. That's their own kettle of fish. As for you, Joshua said, as for me and my house. I'm sure the house, you are thinking of the children. The children had their own business. The man decided. You know, last night they told us, everybody comes with his own vessel. Amen. So, if you say you don't want to address it, wear a tree, fall it. What's going to happen to it? And Bible said there are many stars. And one star does what? Differs from another star. What? In glory, in resurrection. Because that individual, different individuals have addressed the issue in their soul differently. Amen. But the Bible says we are not of them that draw back unto, but we are of those who press on to what? To the saving. What is the saving of the soul? Amen. What is it? What does it mean to save the soul? What problem does the soul have that you have to save it? The problem the soul has is that the devil has set up an altar of darkness within the soul. Now, on Thursday, I couldn't touch it. But I think we can get there today. I think we have enough strength to get there. Now, we saw in the vision of Ezekiel, where for us in the medical, we will say, you'll see the anatomy, the structure. You know when you do biology, you say the structure of the cockroach, is it not? Now, we're doing structure of the soul. There is a way in which your soul is arranged. And Paul said, I fight as one who is running to win. I do not fight against the air. Against the air means I'm just praying. You know, when they say, let us pray, oh God, bless my father, bless my mother, give me food, give me this. You don't know what you are doing. You're just fighting and beating the air. The devil said, leave that one. He hasn't come yet. When he wakes up, we will know. Amen. That's you. So I prayed for 3 hours. Fine. What were you praying about? Maybe for after 10 minutes you slept. And then when somebody came near your door, you woke up. I said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You pray for 3 hours. Amen. What are you addressing? Hallelujah. The soul must be ruled. Do you get it? Since there was a will, and inside the will was another will. Amen. Yeah, say amen now. Hallelujah. Inside the will was another will. And he says, wherever the spirit will go, that's where the will will go. The will doesn't move on its own. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Say amen. If you are always sleeping, there is a reason why you are always sleeping when you are in fellowship. It's not just an incident. It didn't just happen like that. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're always getting angry, there is a reason why you're always behaving that way. The way my soul manifests, the way my mind is working, the way my emotion is working, the way my desires are working, they do that because there are spirits making it to function that way. Amen. That's what Ezekiel 1, one of the things he tells us. There are many other things. Meaning that my soul is different from the spirit that rules over it. So there you have the soul, number one. Every soul must manifest. That's the sphere. If I have my mind is always working. It will always work. It will depend, the way it works depends on the spirit that makes it to work the way it wants to work. Hallelujah. And there are two forms of spirit. He has been telling us a lot about darkness. That's one side of the story. The other side of the story is what? Light. Hallelujah. When the mind is under the influence of darkness, it works in a certain way. If I say I want to change from that way, it's not just to say I want to change. No way. Address the spirit that is making it to function like that. Amen. So somebody says, oh, I want to love God. It's not by a granite. You have to address the spirit that makes you not love God. Okay, example. There was a young man who couldn't help himself. The Bible said that he was always in the tombs. Is it not? What was he doing in the tombs? Did he wake up and say, I now like the tomb. Let me be going to the tomb. Is that what he did? Even when they want to help him, they will tie him and put him somewhere. After some time, what does he do? He breaks it and he runs to the grave. And he was cutting himself. Amen. There is hope for me. The Bible says he didn't wear clothes a long time. It's not today it started though. The naked fashion didn't start today. Amen. But one day, salvation came to him. Hallelujah. When Jesus came, his problem was that he had a legion. Is that not true? The things he was doing was really because there was an influence over his mind. He didn't have a right mind. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus ministered to him, and that legion, that congregation of spirits got out of him. What did the Bible say? The Bible says he found himself where? At the feet of Jesus with what? A right mind. Hallelujah. So, what is he telling me? My actions, they are the direct result of the spirit that is ruling over my mind. Hallelujah. Amen. And I've also seen that there is a way in which I can always bring my mind under the influence of that spirit of God. Amen. So that I'm always in the right mind. Amen. Yeah, you are too quiet now. The Bible says in Proverbs, do not enter into the path of wickedness. Is it in your Bible? Who is the one that enters the path of wickedness? It's the soul. The soul walks in directions. It walks in frequencies. It walks in realms. Give you an example. The Bible said that when those living creatures, when they move straight. It's in your Bible. They run straight. Hallelujah. It means that they function in levels, in frequencies, in directions. Hallelujah. If I begin to go and I'm walking past a place where they are drinking and and, you know, shouting and dancing. And for instance, when you come around Genesis, that area, you don't need anybody to tell you that the atmosphere has changed. Say amen now. You don't want to say amen. Maybe I go through there. It's the road to our fellowship, by the way. I just say amen there in the night. It's the road to our fellowship. So while we are going to fellowship, or we are coming back, or we are going for night vigil, when you get there near during the time of, brother, how is the atmosphere? Is it a good atmosphere? Say amen. Amen. But when you are not there, is the atmosphere the same? No. Hallelujah. There are influences that afflict your soul, whether you like it or not. Amen. There are influences that affect you. So, if you want to overcome, you have to know those influences, those atmospheres. You have to know those situations. And what do? You will avoid them. Hallelujah. Did you say amen? Hallelujah. If you know a website that you should not go near, and you go and touch it, it is like you have entered Genesis. Is it not so? You have entered Genesis. And before you know it, the atmosphere from that site will begin to overwhelm you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me draw something. It's a simple diagram. That should help us. So this is the mind. The mind has a nature. And what is the nature of the mind? To think. Thoughts. This may be broadcasted. So that means you will hear it with your physical ears. This may be at the level of the heart. And you can only hear it by perception. Amen. Say amen now. The mind will always think. Amen. There are thoughts. The Bible talks about deep thoughts. There are thoughts that are shallow. Amen. The Bible says in the night, when deep thought. In other words, there are realms in which the mind can go. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the Greeks, the Romans, the book people, they think they know too much. But they do not understand that the mind has two natures. The mind has a spiritual nature and a physical nature. So you can go to university and learn to be an engineer. You are just addressing the physical mind. Sometimes it affects the spiritual mind. Hallelujah. But you are just scratching the surface. Hallelujah. The depth of the mind has still not been addressed. Adam, for instance, he was in charge of a garden that was, I don't know how long it was. Maybe it was, was at least 500 square meters. Only him. He knew all the plants. He knew all the animals. He didn't have any bridge to walk over. There are four rivers. You know, so his mind was so powerful. Hallelujah. Now, what I'm trying to say is that the mind functions in a high and low frequency. For instance, Isaiah 55 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts. What? Higher than your own thoughts. Hallelujah. You know, the other day, brother was telling us, the 20th century, man has gone beyond himself. He went to the moon. He did so many things. It's even now creating. Man is creating man. But for those who know God, we are not shaking. Hallelujah. Because we know that they are just addressing the tip of the iceberg. The Bible said that God has made man, and he said, in fact, giving him dominion over all the works of God. Do you know what the works of God are? All the planets, God put man in charge. It means that there is a depth. Now, I'm going there because you need to know the dimension in you. You need to understand what we are fighting. Hallelujah. You need to know the depth to which the devil is operating. And if you are going to overcome, then you must also fight him at that level. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Hallelujah. Amen. So there is a nature of the mind. Now, there is the exercise of the mind. This mind must be exercised. Amen. But the big one, is that the mind must be ruled. The rule of the dominion or the head or the control of the mind. And whoever controls the mind wins the war. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Whoever controls the mind rules the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Who controls your mind? Who rules your mind? Hallelujah. The mind is feminine in spiritual language. That means it's of a lower energy. It's a made man of a lower energy. Made him a little lower than what? So man is of a lower spiritual creation. Hallelujah. Means that man was created so that higher spirits will rule over it. Hallelujah. Will overshadow it. Hallelujah. Will influence it. Have you come across some people that are too strong for you? That's too strong for you. You know, it's what they say, that's what you do. They don't even talk to you. Ah. God is trying to teach you a lesson. Hallelujah. He said that those kind of people, you have to be very careful with working with them. Because they will make you do the things you don't want to do. Hallelujah. Because they're able to exercise dominion. Now, the devil works by a principle of witchcraft, manipulation. What does he do? The devil manipulates us to do the things we don't want to do. While actually thinking we are doing the right thing. Hallelujah. Say amen now. It's called spiritual warfare. Right now, you don't need to, if you want to fight one country, you don't need to go to that country to fight the country, is it not? You only stay in your room and you use your computer and manipulate and put out of order the weaponry of the other country. Is that correct? It's called cyber warfare. You stay in your room and you manipulate the things happening. That's what Russia was doing. That's what they have been doing. Hallelujah. That's why some people are crying, Russia, Russia, Russia. What did they do? They just stayed in their house and they began to manipulate. It is the principle of spiritual
warfare.
Hallelujah. You wake up in the morning and you are feeling somehow. You don't feel like praying. I don't feel like going for fellowship. I'm not feeling well. This is, it's okay, it's true. Since I'm not feeling well, let me do this. I'll go tomorrow. Maybe that's the day God has arranged a bus for you. The bus is coming to fellowship to do for you. And when the bus gets there, you are not there. Amen. Hallelujah. It's called spiritual warfare. That is, we operate as though, you know, of course, scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let's go there. Let's look at that scripture. Let's look at that scripture. I think it's Ephesians 6. It's one of the scriptures I have here. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Okay, that's where I started. Good. No, let's look at 11. 11, verse 11. Verse 11, are we there? Okay. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. Wiles means tricks. The devil is not very strong. He's strong because he's able to trick us. Amen. Say amen now. He's able to trick us. He tricks you. You know, and he makes you feel that he's very powerful. He's not powerful in anything. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. There's something called revised psychology. Actually, the devil wants you to attack somebody, and he makes the person attack you. Amen. The devil wants you to attack this brother. All right? What does he do? He makes the brother step on your toes. Then you get angry. Then you build up words. You now become a double-barrel gun shooting at your brother. And the devil is laughing. Amen. Because you're only looking at it and say, why did he step on my leg? He's always stepping on my leg. He's always doing this, always doing this. You do not know that there are spirits that are making him to step on your feet. Hallelujah. So if you want to overcome, what are you going to do? Leave the brother alone. He's a very fine brother. He's even wearing a blue shirt. He looks very nice. Hallelujah. He said, an enemy has done it. I bind you, the devil will run away. Your brother will be free. Amen. Hallelujah. It's called spiritual warfare. That is, you begin to understand. You wake up in the morning, you want to go to work, and your car doesn't start. So you see, this mechanic, I've told this mechanic, this Port Harcourt mechanics, the Port Harcourt mechanic alone, go and ask God, what should I do? What is happening in this situation? Amen. You know, so the devil can use anything to disrupt us. And we are not sensitive enough to understand the working. But we say we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The things that come against me 90% of the times are spirit motivated. I didn't get any amen. Hallelujah. The things that happen to you, if you begin to be diligent, you will find out that they are spirit motivated. There are things that happen in our families and we just run. We are looking at it at the natural carnal level. We're not careful to discern where they are coming from. Hallelujah. So this scripture says we wrestle against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, these are the things that our soul is engaged in. Now, every individual has his own portion that he has to address. The things you are addressing may not be the things I'm addressing. And that is why I cannot follow you. I must go to God. I hear for myself. What is God saying to me in my own set of circumstances? Amen. Somebody say, I'm fasting today. It's okay. Let me fast today too. Who sent you to fast? Maybe that day God wanted you to eat so that you can praise him for how good pineapple tastes. You say, oh my God, God is so wonderful for pineapple. You see, this God loves me so much. And he wants to show you his love. Then that's because somebody say he wants to fast. You too follow and fast. Amen. So we are carried about with every wind of doctrine. Hallelujah. Because we don't know the Lord. We're not walking with the Lord. We are following the crowd. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against this principality. Now let's look at the other scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So we are seeing that the soul has a head. There are spirits that rule over the head, over the soul, and those spirits must be beheaded. So this is the mind. This is the head of the mind. This is the head. This is the head of the mind. And it is darkness. Now, this is for a natural man. It's for a natural man. But when you become born again, now the question is, when I get born again, bam, the darkness goes away. Is that what he says? Immediately I say, Jesus, come into my life, and so on and so on. The darkness, all of darkness runs away. The Bible says that it's like a light that shines in a dark place. And does what? Shines brighter and brighter until the day dawn. Hallelujah. Yeah, you people are too quiet now. Why? What's the sort of the quietness? Pukwa. Kes for the quiet. Okay, we lost our voices. Praise God. Amen. This is a very good capital. Everybody has lost their voice. Hallelujah. Including Brother Paul, he lost his voice too. Okay, there was a lot of shouting in the morning, so we are rested. Okay, I understand the shouting. Amen. Well, I'm not the shouting. I'm trying to learn to shout. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if you are. Are you convinced? He said that when they got into the promised land, he said he will not drive them all away. In one day, you know, how will he drive them? Little by little. There's a doctrine that says immediately Christ enters, bam, all the darkness. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. If not, how can a whole brother like Paul say, I'm still struggling? It's Paul that wrote this one. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's look at another scripture. Maybe it might help us. Romans chapter 2. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. Hallelujah. Now, this is where we must go beyond the outer court and come into the holy place. Because the holy place is where the action is. The soul is changed in the holy place. The outer court is a reception for the soul. The holy place is the change of the soul. The holiest of all is the marriage of the soul. Hallelujah. I don't know if you got it. Very easy. One is reception. Two, the soul is changed. Three, the soul is married to Christ. Hallelujah. So bridegroom is waiting for the soul in the holiest of all, inside the bedroom. Hallelujah. And soul is dancing I was going to say something, but I'm not sure it's happening. That starts with S. SS. The soul is dancing SS in the outer court. But the bridegroom is waiting where? In the bedroom. Hallelujah. And it's only the virgins that go through a change that will go in. Don't you understand? Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen. Amen. There's a foolish virgin. May the Lord deliver my soul from being foolish. Amen. The amen is still low. Amen. Amen. The soul must be virgin. What is virgin? Mean no defilement. Hallelujah. This head of darkness must be driven away. I don't know if I can preach, if we can settle that this night, I'll be so happy. That is apostolic vision. Hallelujah. There is darkness in the soul. The darkness can be discharged. I have been called to discharge the darkness in my soul. End of story. Amen. Any ministry that is not helping me do that is wasting my time. Praise God for you, but I'm not going there. Hallelujah. My soul has a mission. I have been anointed to discharge the darkness, to uproot the darkness. Hallelujah. And I am committed to it. So help me God. Hallelujah. The woman said, if I perish, I perish. Do not tell me to go back to my people. There are some souls that are not going back to any people. Amen. Our soul has come out from Moab. Don't you understand? And it is entering. Hallelujah. And he said, the Bible said that woman came out at the time of the barley harvest. You know what is barley harvest? Barley harvest is the first feast. Passover. Hallelujah. She continued on to the wheat harvest. Hallelujah. In by chapter 4, she ended up married to Boaz. Hallelujah. And they brought forth the great, great, great grandfather of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So at midnight, the woman was found at the feet. Don't you understand? Can you imagine for Moab, she has ended up at the feet. She had the right mind. Right mind. Touch your head and say, right mind. Ruth had the right mind. Hallelujah. She had a mind transplant. Say, I'm not going back to my people. Amen. I'm not going back to this life of rising and falling. The mind of servitude, blindness. The blindness of the mind. Hallelujah. Jesus was in the congregation. The people were thinking. He was hearing what they were thinking in his mind. What kind of mind is that? Hallelujah. That is the mind he has given to us. So we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going somewhere. And anybody who is not contributing that to me, I have no discussion with you, but it is, my God would say it's infradig. That means it's below me. There are things that should be below you. Amen. Somebody tell you a cock-a-boo story. You'll be the champion. Champion of what? Christ did what? You are the 42nd generation. Don't you understand? You are the Christ coming forth. Hallelujah. There's 41 and there's 42. 41 was so powerful. How much was 42? Amen. Many Christs are coming forth. Hallelujah. When Christ replaces this head of darkness, that's my head becomes Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyway, I was running too fast. So what we are saying, brethren, is that there is an apostolic vision. Which one are you following? What are you giving your strength to? What are you walking? What are you, do you understand where you are going to? Do you understand what God is saying? Hallelujah. That the soul must be saved. If the mind is not saved, the whole thing is gone, finished. Because the mind is the ruler of the soul. Amen. So you can as well draw this. So these are the other ones. The wheel is down. What will be here? Emotions. Okay, emotions will be here. This is the lion. This is the desire. It's either a falling serpent or a seraphim. This one is a little bit high stuff. It's a little, this is a strong bone. Hallelujah. A seraphim means, it says the, it says stones of fire. That is natures that have been purified and redeemed by fire. Hallelujah. They are burnt ones. People who are souls that are given over to a perpetual sacrifice to God. Hallelujah. But that's on the other side. Anyway, so the soul is the dominant nature. Sorry, the mind is the dominant nature of the soul. Because it can rise or it can fall. If it falls, it carries everything down. If it rises, it carries everything up. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord will do what? Shall renew. They shall do what? Shall mount up like eagles. Since Friday, since Wednesday, what has happened to you? Amen. You have been rising. Now your voice has gone, but your mind is still rising. Hallelujah. And still going to rise. Hallelujah. Amen. And as your mind rises, your emotion also rises. The appetite of your emotions, your desires, the way you are feeling, the things you desire, your will, everything is changing also. Hallelujah. Amen. So Ruth understood it. He said, the man will not rest until this matter ends. So just go and find yourself at the feet. And he says, cover me. That cover is what? It's the influence. Is it not? That's the influence we are talking about. Christ began to influence her. Hallelujah. Amen. At midnight, there was a woman found. You and I, at this midnight, must be found at the feet. We must be found under the sphere of his garment, of the under the government of Christ. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Amen. That some of us young people, when we begin to get money, we say, no, you can pray, I can pray. You don't understand. You can pray, I can pray. I don't understand. Why? Because you don't understand the law of the city of refuge. Amen. You can't just take any job. Can't just walk anywhere. Can't you just marry anybody? You cannot just go anywhere. Hallelujah. You must walk in the city of refuge. Under covering and government. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the byproduct. But we're saying, brethren, that there's a rule over the soul. And that rule can be either darkness or light. And that rule is called the government of the soul. Hallelujah. All right, let's jump to Revelations. We'll come back to this. Revelations 20. Revelations 20. Hallelujah. Verse 4. I love verse 4 very much. Amen. What does he say? And I saw thrones. I don't know if there's anybody who still has a problem about thrones in the heaven, in the soul. Your soul is heaven. In fact, we used to argue and say, man is a spirit, he has a soul. All that grammar is now is becoming old stuff. Amen. Man is spirit, man is soul, man is body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The three are important. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, there are what? Thrones. And what? And they that sat on the throne. And what? And judgment was given unto them. And the souls of them that were what? Beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Hallelujah. The soul must be beheaded. What do you use to behead the soul? You need sharp knife. Sharp knife. You know what that sharp knife is? It is the word of God. It's a what? A two-edged sword. Sharp. There are some swords that are not sharp. There are some words that are not sharp. There are some ministries that do not have sharp words. They will bring stress. They will give you a headache. Amen. Too much stress. Too much stress. Hallelujah. But you need a place where the word of God is sharp, quick, powerful. What is he doing? To cut away the foreskin of the soul. Amen. The soul has a foreskin, has a covering. It must be removed. Hallelujah. And that covering, that remover is the flesh. Amen. There is only one thing that qualifies to remove is the sharp word. And the sharp word is a shewbread. Do you understand? It's the revealed word. Hallelujah. It's sharp. It says that the arrow of the king says sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Amen. That's a warfare. Amen. Say dividing asunder what? Soul and spirit. It's the word that can go down, down, down. Hallelujah. Sharp word. If I don't like the face of the brother and he has sharp word, my brother, I will be the first in the city. Amen. It's not for my village. I'm going to be the first. Hallelujah. It doesn't greet me. No problem. I'm going to be first. Because I want sharp knife. I'm looking for sharp knife. Hallelujah. To cut away the foreskin. Hallelujah. If you're marrying wife, look for a wife that has sharp knife. If you're looking for a marrying husband, look for a husband that has sharp knife. Does he have Mercedes Benz? That's your problem. He has sharp knife. Sister Martha, say sharp knife. Say sharp knife now. Sharp knife. Hallelujah. You look for brother, sharp knife. You look for sister, sharp knife. Amen. Does he have sharp knife? Can he bring sharp knife to my life? Hallelujah. Amen. That's number one on your list. Isn't it whether he's tall? Does he look fine? Does he speak gently? Like a, does he do this and this? Can he take me to Mr. Biggs 7 times in a week? That's not your problem. Bro. Your problem is sharp knife. Hallelujah. Does he have air conditioner? Leave air conditioner alone. Just get sharp knife. Hallelujah. Somebody says the son of a rich man is not a rich boy. Do you hear it? You didn't hear it? The son of a rich man is not a rich boy. Amen. You say amen now. Hallelujah. The father gave him a car. The car will be old. There won't be any fuel in the car. It will knock engine. Amen. Look for the brother that has sharp knife. Hallelujah. And your problem will be solved. Okay, that's just by the side. All right. So this is the scripture. The soul must be beheaded. Hallelujah. If you want to change, you must address the head, the rule, the influence over the soul. There was a young man, his name is Achan. Do you know Achan? He found a goodly Babylonish covering. Amen. He took it and he defied him. So there are new relationships you might come to. Particularly those of us who go to university. There are some people now who are in SS3 that are going to university. Some of them are not here. They are writing post UME. Some have written already that are here. Amen. Say amen. Praise God. Amen. When you get there, you will see godly Babylonish influence. Hallelujah. You follow the influence, you'll be defined. Hallelujah. You go there and you see somebody. Maybe a young man or a young woman, your head starts spinning. You know that the razor has come. Hallelujah. The razor is very close to shave off your head. Hallelujah. And your strength will depart from you because of an influence. You just can't take your eyes off him or off her. Amen. In the fellowship, your eye, you're always looking in that direction. Any small thing, in that direction. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are influences. They are just one. There are other influences. Maybe you like cars. You like this. You like that. Those are influences that are rising in the soul. And they can pull you down. They can weigh you down. So if you want to change, you must identify them. And the Bible says that this kind does not go out by what? It said by prayer and fasting. Because the Bible says when you fast, you chasten your soul. Do you understand the Bible language? There are things that reach the soul. Number one is fasting. Number two, the word of God. Number three, the blood. Number four, the spirit of God. Amen. Number five, Cain also. Amen. So sometimes God will bring Cain and bring you to Cain. Hallelujah. He can give you some strokes. Amen. Sometimes, number six, the brethren may even bring Cain too. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that when you cane the child, you deliver the soul from where? Hell. Hallelujah. So there are some small people running around. They also need some cane though, to deliver the foolishness in the soul. Say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're speaking about spiritual warfare. What are you doing? Pulling down the idol in the Father's house. Only you can do it. Nobody can do it for you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 10. I think I was there before we moved. We have still not entered the message. Well, we'll see how it goes. Corinthians 10. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, brother. I think it's from verse 3. Alright, so this is the brother scripture of Ephesians 6:10. Amen. This is the brother. What does it say? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, when you go to war, there are many aspects of war. There's what they call logistics of war. That is, if you are going to war, you need vehicles to carry the troops. Amen. You need fuel that will run the vehicles. The troops must eat food. They need shelter. They might have headache, so you need medical supplies. They need telecommunications. Those are called logistics. Amen. Now, what they do, they have what they call a field station. Good armies, they have what they call an outpost stations. That is places very far from the city, right where the war fought in. That is where they have their post. So they can easily replenish their supply. If the devil wants, if you want to win your enemy, you don't need to fight too much. Cut up the supply line. Amen. You cut up the supply line. The soldier is in front, but he's hungry. Amen. The soldier is in front. He has no logistic target to tell him the enemy is there. The enemy is not there. He has gone away. Amen. They told David, or who was he saying, when you hear the sound on the top of the mulberry trees, that is when you know you are going to move. Amen. So, when you are going to war against the devil, you must understand your logistics. Amen. So if you are telling me you want to change, That doesn't move me. I want to say, what is their plan for the logistics? What is their plan for logistics? And the major logistics is what? My father, Baba. That is your ability to, for your soul to touch heaven. Hallelujah. Because if the devil is able to cut you off, you don't hear from God, no replenishment, no strength. Before long, all these hands you have waved here for 1 week, it might only take just 1 day or 2 days or 5 minutes. Everything is back to zero. Amen. Because the devil understands your logistics. All he needs to do is to set up a plan for you. Oh, today you went to see your auntie. You came back very tired. You didn't pray. You woke up in the morning. Okay, I will pray in the morning. In the morning, oh, I'm very tired. I will pray in the night. In the night, Nigeria is playing Czech Republic. Then the following morning, Arsenal will play. Then the other day, they have a Champions League. The other one that you are doing, once again, you want to go to a market. The following day, I have a report to present in my office. The following day, they said I should submit a thesis. The following day, your friend said, oh no, let's go and visit my auntie. By the time you finish that for 1 week, you are back to zero. What has he done? He has cut you off from your supply line. Hallelujah. You have not been able to touch base with God. You have not been able to renew yourself. You have not been able to refresh your soul. You are still running on energy of camp meeting. It's not going to work. Hallelujah. If you want to change, number one, you must secure your supply line. They call it quiet time, whatever name you want to call it. It is a matter of life and death. If you lose it, the battle is over. I didn't hear any amen. Hallelujah. If you lose it at that point, brother, sister, we can't do much. Hallelujah. So you must make a plan. You must make a contingency plan. Fit it into your program. If you are busy, you are a worker, you are a mother, you are a father, you are a student, you are whatever. Although the Bible says that you should, that the cares of this life and what? And the deceitfulness of riches. What did they do? They choke the world. Don't you understand? They choke the world and the world. You receive the word. You are so excited. Oh, fantastic revelation. I am going to change. I am going so and so. That's not the end of the story. The end of the story is, what have you planned to deal with the cares and the deception and the strain of life? Amen. By the time you go from my three to MIS and back, you are fagged out. And maybe that day, the devil will just arrange one small holder for you in the garrison. And you are just there. And before long, somebody hits your car. Another one hits your car. You start arguing and shouting. Say, today, God will punish you. You don't know when you did that. And before long, the devil says, brother, that's what you said. You said this. God has forgotten you. In fact, he has left you behind. So, you are dealing with God will punish you. It's called warfare. Hallelujah. It's called warfare. My soul must be matured. Is the Bible say your soul is like a simple man? Foolish. He needs to be instructed. Hallelujah. Instructed by the things of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says all scripture is given what? By the inspiration. To do what? For instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be what? Truly furnished unto God. Now, some militant brothers in this fellowship and others have told you four chapters a day. Say, how can I read four chapters a day? This is brutal. They're always giving us, put a yoke. That is like the yoke of the Pharisees. It's not yoke of Pharisees, though. If you understand that your mind is a wilderness, Dry. Amen. Water must run over it. Hallelujah. I must be refreshed by the word of God. Whether I understand it or not, it's not the devil's business. Soul, you must be watered. So I must find time to water my soul. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that the word of God, what does it do? It converted the soul. If you go to the Psalms, it says that the mountains of the Lord shall be watered. He said he will make the earth to be soft. He will make the ridges. He will clothe it with pasture. Don't you understand? It's the word of God. The more the word of God comes upon your soul, it softens the soul. Amen. It waters it. It begins to restore the sensitivity in the heart. You know that the mind is like, I don't know how to say it, it's the biggest computer in the whole world. It's so sensitive. You are talking about touch screen. Now they are doing a hologram. You come and then the thing comes there and you are punching in the air and you are actually doing something. Amen. That was in the mind many years ago. Amen. The mind must be renewed. Say, be thou transformed. By the word, the renewing of the mind. Hallelujah. You know how to renew the mind? You soak it with the word of God. He said, let the word of God dwell with you in all wisdom. Hallelujah. The word is dwelling in you. It's soaking. Hallelujah. Every time there is the pressure of the word of God and it's renewing. Hallelujah. I can give you a testimony. Since I started reading the scripture, my mind has been renewed. Better believe it. Hallelujah. Sharper. I haven't dealt with all the problems, but sharper. Hallelujah. And it is a matter of life and death. The devil knows. If it is 4 days that I have missed, no problem. It means 4 other days is going to rest. Everything must come down until I come back to normal level. So the devil knows now, so he doesn't try that one. He tries other things. Amen. The more you come to the word of God, your mind begins to expand. It becomes deeper. Amen. You see, you walk faster, you know. Even in your natural things, you begin to excel. Amen. Because as I'm saying, one, your mind has already ended. He knows where it's going to, and you have already ended the matter. So he says that you make you have an excellent spirit. Hallelujah. So you'll be the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to Revelation 12. We're trying to enter the message. So even if we can touch it, we can end. Amen. Now, Revelation 12 says there was war in heaven. Hallelujah. There is war in heaven. And the scripture says, woe to him that is at ease in Zion. There's a life of ease. Brother, chill. Have you heard of that, brother? Brother, chill. Chill. Debbie, have you heard of it before? The brother, chill. Chill. You are taking this thing too serious. Chill. Let's just have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Well, you can have fun. The only problem is there is war in heaven. Hallelujah. You know, there's one man, they told him, look at this enemy, address the man. He said that while he was doing this and that, the enemy escaped. He said, "Your life for him." Hallelujah. May the enemy not escape in our lives. Hallelujah. While he was doing this and that, the enemy escaped. Hallelujah. The Bible says the enemy has been arrested. Say there was a blow that was given to the beast. Well, I hope we can get to Revelation 13. It is good to have a focus. It is good to adopt a lifestyle of a soldier. The Bible says, he that worried does not what? Entangle himself in the affairs of this life. But how can you be in the world and you not be entangled? Jesus said, I do not pray you should take them out of the world, but that thou might deliver them from the evil in the world. Hallelujah. That is, you are in the world, you are using the world. The world is not using you. Amen. So he gives the example of those 332 out of 32,000. Only 300. Now, these ones, they got to the water. They didn't submit to it. They were lapping it. Because their eyes were still, they were still active. They were still watching. They were still vigilant. They didn't drop it. Because to bow the knee means that they had to drop their weapons. So they had the weapon on one hand and they were lapping. So there was a vigilance that came with it. So one of the ways to know, to check yourself, is to know when you have dropped everything. You know, there's a job, there's a relationship, there is something new where you are, and it's like this one, if I miss it. So you throw everything to the wind. You have seen the boy. You like the boy. Saying that this, wow, this one is the best I've seen. I must do everything to keep this one. You say, brother, sister, you say, leave that. Look, leave. Bro. There are six that have come now. Those ones are nothing. This one, though. This one. I'm not going to be a fool. Now I'm getting close to 40 years. This one, I'm not going to miss it. Sister, don't drop everything, though. Bring it to the cross. I say, cross, go through it. Blood, go through it. Amen. There are other situations that will come, and it's like, no, this one. They say, if I fail this course, I cannot be an engineer. So don't tell me anything. No. I must pass this one. Amen. And maybe the lecturer starts speaking grammar for you. Amen. And you begin to say, is it good? After all, is it really good? Is it really bad? Is it really bad? Did the Bible say you should not go? You should not, after all. In fact, what's the difference between adultery and fornication? What's the difference? After all, is it really in the Bible? That means you have already entered. And you need to be delivered with force. Amen. So there are situations that will come to you and you need to address. You need to be very, very, very careful. You know? So the scripture is saying that there was war in heaven. But there's a place I want to go to. I think in verse 6. Where he said there was no more space found for the devil. No, it's not there. Okay, verse 7 and 8. 7, 8, 9, 10. Amen. I love those ones. Because it really encourages me. Amen. There is war in heaven, and it gives you the good news that you can overcome. You see, and there was war in heaven. And you know, each time you read heaven, you better think of your soul. Amen. That's the real heaven. Because that's the heaven where there is a contention. It says the lust of the flesh that war against our soul. That's Peter. Amen. The lust of the flesh, where it is heating up, is where? In my mind, in my emotions, in my desire, in my will. That's where there is war in heaven. Hallelujah. And they fought, and the dragon fought and his angels. Verse 8. And what did he do? And prevailed not. Hallelujah. Amen. Neither was there place found any more in heaven. Now, this is where I really want to touch. Now, this is the place I believe that we as Christians, we have completely deviated. If you find an average Christian and say, look, what is the end of your faith? Where are you going to? What is carrying Bible? What is he going to give to you? What do you want to achieve? If you didn't know, I wish to advertise you that this is the object. To do what? To cast out the devil from your heaven. Amen. There is a throne of darkness in the soul of every human being. God allowed the darkness there so that he will corner the darkness. Amen. That's what Brother Bob has been straining to teach us all these days. Darkness entered into Adam without knowing what was in store for it. Hallelujah. Amen. We saw from the last scripture, it said, and Satan entered into Judas. That was a high risk business. They had to do it because, you know, he said, look, this is the last card. So I will do it myself. So he entered into Judas. Well, Judas could have been saved. If you believe that, say amen. You could have been saved. Hallelujah. Judas and Peter were in the same boat. Peter may even have been worse. He said, I never knew the man. But there was redemption for him. And brethren, no matter how far you have gone in this room, there is redemption for your soul. Amen. You must believe it. You must believe it. Acts says, he will not leave my soul in hell. Hallelujah. Do you know Jesus actually went to hell? Peter had the revelation. You understand? After what he went through, God went to him and he saw some things. Hallelujah. So Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. There was a crusade down in hell. Hell crusade. He said he led captivity captive. Say, who is going with me? Hallelujah. And he led them. Hallelujah. He preached to them. Hallelujah. He blasted open the gates. He took the keys of hell and death. Say, if you are going, come with me. Hallelujah. In your school, they will tell you, your great-great-grandfather, how has he heard the gospel? Tell them that Jesus went to hell and delivered all of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He went to hell. If he went to hell then, he is still in hell now. Hallelujah. He's going everywhere searching to save as many people as possible. David said, my leg has slipped and gone into hell. However, the Lord delivered me. Hallelujah. He said, he brought me from the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock. Hallelujah. If your soul is in that clay, the place we are bound, I have good news for you. And he prevailed not. Amen. He said, the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to deliver the soul. He said that he's able to save to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Them that come to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that there is no condition of soul in this room that the blood of Jesus cannot redeem. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, though your sins be as black, red as crimson. If you know what crimson means, is when it drops, nobody can remove it. Do you understand? Say, they shall be as white as wool. Amen. Amen. You know that song, when we were singing that song, do you know who you are? I just felt the love of God in this room. Hallelujah. There was something that began to do in my soul. Do you know who you are? Hallelujah. Do you know the extent to which Christ went? That's that song we sing. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He went for me. He went, do you know where Calvary is? It's the most excruciating journey in the whole of humanity. But Jesus went all the way. Hallelujah. And he carried the cross. When you read that account, that he was tempted in all points. No shaking. Hallelujah. And he said, it is finished. You have to believe it. It is finished means my soul can be delivered. My soul must be delivered. The devil, you cannot have my soul. Hallelujah. You must believe it. Amen. You must believe that the devil cannot have your soul. I say, little children, do not sin. If you sin, what happens? You have an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah. Find your way to the blood. Find your way to the river. Hallelujah. And it will wash and cleanse the soul. Amen. The devil did not prevail. He did not prevail. Hallelujah. Let's read down. Then we'll end in Hebrews. I prevail not, neither was there place found in my heaven. Verse 9. And the great dragon was what? Cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole souls in the world. He was what? Cast out into the earth. And his angels with him. Verse 10. I like this one. Now, you see, when God begins to recover your soul, you will begin to hear voices. Now, as you're hearing by voice with your physical ear, as your soul begins to be recovered, you begin to hear voices in your heart. With the ear of your heart. Hallelujah. You will begin to hear the voice of God. The sweetest voice in the whole humanity. You begin to hear it. And that voice begins to sound louder and louder and louder in you. Hallelujah. You will hear this voice. What does it say? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. What does it say? Now. Hallelujah. They say, when you wake up, that's your morning. I want to tell you that when you wake up, that's your morning. Hallelujah. I teach my people, I say, look, the money in Port Harcourt can never finish. Concentrate on your career. And when you finish, you will have opportunity. That's in the natural. Brethren, when you wake up, it's your morning. Hallelujah. He said, now it's come. I didn't have power before. Now I have power. Hallelujah. My soul was weak. The devil can run in and out. But now, amen. Say, now is come salvation. And what? Strength. And the kingdom of our God. And the what? The power of his Christ. Hallelujah. It's coming to our soul. It's coming to your soul. It's coming to your soul. Amen. It's coming to our soul. We receive it this night. I receive it this night. Hallelujah. Now he's come. Hallelujah. He wasn't there yesterday, but he's there now. Hallelujah. The devil cast me down yesterday. Now he's come. Hallelujah. If you fall, rise up and say, now he's come. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, a wise man, perfect man, he said he falls 7 times and he rises 7 times. Hallelujah. Rise up. Rise up. Hallelujah. Now is come. Hallelujah. Salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is what? Is cast down.
Cancer means that your soul has gone beyond his level. Don't you understand? Your soul plus Christ is 12 dimension. Your soul is only 9. Don't you understand? You are functioning at the realm of the 9 stones. The devil has just 1 on top of you, 10. But when you receive Christ, you leapfrog. Hallelujah. Some people say they want to leapfrog Africa. And I say we want to leapfrog the soul. Amen. While we are going from the point of captivity, captives in Zion, we are going to become sons of God in Zion. Why? Because Christ is coming forth in our soul. Amen. Hallelujah. You must understand it. And you have to plot the graph for your soul. I am a slave now. By the end of the year, I will be a prince with God. Amen. I'm ready to pay the price. I'm ready to pay the price. Hallelujah. Amen. We must know where we're going to. You say, we're not like cunningly devised fables, blown around with every wind of circumstance and no. That was history. Now, he says, you worship what you know not, but we worship what we know. Do you know what you worship? Do you know where you are going to? Hallelujah. Let's take one more scripture. I will see so many, but let's see if we can do one more. Hebrews chapter 8. Amen. Hebrews 8 and 9. Hallelujah. We are still talking about spiritual warfare. Understanding who you are. Understanding how your soul operates. Understanding what your enemy is. How to pull down the altar. Understanding how to receive strength. Encourage yourself. Say, David encouraged himself in the Lord. The devil is playing a video for you. You know, you 3 weeks ago, you did so and so. How is this business? Amen. Now is come salvation. Hallelujah. Shut down all the videos. All the accusations. Amen. He's the accuser of the brethren. He has nothing better to tell you. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Hebrews chapter 8. Let's go to verse 8. Verse 8 of Hebrews. Okay, he says he's going to make a new. He found fault with the old covenant. You know what the old covenant was? The old covenant was the law. It was the natural law. The altar was in the soul. The covenant was outside. Can you understand, Sister Jane? You understand? The covenant, the altar was there. The man coming to the altar had, coming to the temple had an altar inside him. He couldn't address the problem. Amen. God said, I will make a new covenant. Hallelujah. I will take the solution to where the problem is. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Okay. Okay, not according to, we have said this. Verse 10. Now, never forget verse 10. Because many of us do not understand where we are. We are in the new covenant. We are in the new business of God. The new business of God deals with the solution. This is the problem where it is. The Pharisees came to Jesus. They say, your disciples do not wash their hands before they eat. Say, you people, you have a problem. The things that defile a man are not outside. You're not coming here and clapping hands. No, that's good. That's not where your problem is. Amen. Don't be like the Pharisees, brethren. Amen. Yeah, I'm not hearing amen. He said, I will not be like the Pharisees. He says, the things that defile a man are from within. That's Matthew 15. Amen. Say, from within proceed evil thought. From within proceed anger. From within proceed adultery, fornication, murders. The lifestyle you don't like, they come from within. Amen. God says, I'm going there to deal with it. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to cut up the leaves. I want to uproot it. Hallelujah. The New Testament is an uprooting gospel. It was designed to uproot the problem. Hallelujah. Look at it now. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. What will I do? Let's read it together. I will put my law into their mind. I write it in their hearts. And I will be to them Elohim. Hallelujah. And they shall be to me a people. Hallelujah. QED. End of story. Hallelujah. The problem is in the mind. God says so. Hallelujah. Now, when you read the scripture, it's telling you that there is a law, another law in the mind. If not, why would God put? Do you put what is there? Can you answer me, please? If you say, I will put something, was it there before? Yeah. So before the law comes, there is another law there. Amen. It's called the law of darkness. Somebody calls it the law of sin and death. Whatever you want, call it. Paul said, I find another law in my members. Hallelujah. Ruling me. Making me be a pop star instead of a priest of God. Don't you understand? The things that you like are the things that, you know, those are the things. Amen. Those are the things that you like. It is a spirit. Go and deal with it at the root. Amen. That one calls for fasting. Say, God, this matter is not the one of Go Spring High School. Me and you, we shall settle this matter. Amen. Change me, oh God. Change me, oh God. Change me from within. Create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Anything they tell you, say, change me, oh God. You wake up in the morning, change me, oh God. In the afternoon, change me, oh God. Evening, change me, oh God. Create in me a new heart. You are crying and shouting, knocking your head, say, God, have mercy. He said, let's see if he's very serious. Amen. When the cry reaches heaven. Amen. He said, the children of Israel said, when the cry of the children of Israel reached heaven. It's okay. They are ready now. Hallelujah. See, before you cry, he will answer. Amen. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good. To give you an expected end. Hallelujah. He says, if you seek me with all your heart, what will happen? You will find me. Hallelujah. Have you sought for God? Proverbs says, if you seek for God more than silver and gold. Amen. You know how you look for silver and gold? If you seek for God like that, you will find wisdom. You will find knowledge. Grace will come. Hallelujah. Deliverance will come. Hallelujah. So the question this night is, do you really want change? Do you really want change? Do you really want to overcome? Do you really want to be a son of God? Are you willing to pay the price? The Bible says, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. Hallelujah. You want to overcome without traveling? Amen. There must be a travail. May the Lord bless us with the spirit of travail. May he lower upon this congregation his hand. The spirit of prayer. The spirit of intercession. The spirit of the priest. The spirit of the warrior. The spirit of the militant in prayer. The spirit of them that will press on to the saving of the soul. Lord, deal with the ease. This life of ease. He says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. The taste has not been changed. Deliver us, O God. This nature that doesn't want to be changed. This nature of Moab. This nature of flesh upon flesh. Circumcises from our hearts, O God. Deliver our soul, my God. Create in us a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within us. Hallelujah. You desire truth in the inward parts. My God, make us
a people that desire it also. You dwell in the high and lofty place with him that is of a contrite, of a broken, of a humble heart. He said the sacrifices of God that a meek and a broken heart. Grant it to us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus.
That's a new covenant. The new covenant is in the heart, in the mind. He will do something. Now, let's look at the last scripture. Hebrews 9, verse 9, I think. Hebrews 9, verse 9, I think. Yes, verse 9 and then verse 14. It's saying, which was a figure of the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, do what? Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. There is a disease. If you didn't hear anything I said, get this one. There is a disease in the conscience. Hallelujah. That makes the conscience be a factory of dead works. It makes the mind a factory of dead works. But the Bible says he will take the blood and he will go there and do what? Purge it. Hallelujah. Amen. Our walk with God is a walk of being purged. You see, you can relate with God with a conscience of sin. This is a higher dimension now. Those of you who are fathers, or you have a father, or you have somebody you relate with, you know that when you come to the person with a guilt, you can't, you are not free. Amen. You are not free. Some of us are not free in the presence of God. Do you know why? We are not strong. We are not valiant. One of the major reasons is what?
Sin consciousness.
Somebody's always saying, this happened. And it takes away strength from us. Hallelujah. We are not bold. We are not liberated. We are not delivered. We are not free. Bible said that perfect love does what? Cast out our fear. Robert was saying, it's not only him. In 1979, I was in a school, government college, in Wahia. They brought one, brother Omar Opai brought one film called Burning Hell. Jesus. I entered the hall. Before he finished, I was out. Because we saw Burning Hell. The whole school got born again that day. I don't know whether they still show Burning Hell now. Amen. Okay, brother said there's no more hell. Amen. We all got born again because of Burning Hell. Hallelujah. But I thank God for that day because it was the day when my journey began. Amen. My eye cleared. I told you, I said, well, give my church though. Amen. Hallelujah. You can relate with God with fear. You don't want this. You don't want to go to this. But there is a place where the conscience has been healed. Hallelujah.
is a place of liberty. Amen. Where we deal with God with a consciousness of righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. We come to God and there is no barrier. We have liberty. Those are the days ahead of us. Hallelujah. Amen. When we stand before God and there is no barrier. Hallelujah. If you desire it, you can have it. My friend used to say, anything you see is yours. Hallelujah. Anything you can see in the horizon of your mind is yours. Hallelujah. I don't know what you are seeing today, but I pray you can see that salvation can come to your soul. Salvation can visit. Hallelujah. So we're not just falling and rising. That we are made stand upright. And we are going, our marching to Zion. Hallelujah. And our stamp is sure, targeted and calculated. Amen. We're not beating around. Hallelujah. We know where we are. And we know where we are going to. And we know where to go there. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah. Say he will purge the conscience from sin. Hallelujah. Amen. We can't talk about the conscience today. But what God... Conscience is part of the mind, by the way. But what God is saying is that he's doing something. The devil has set up a throne. And God is in the business of shutting it down. Praise God. I want to give you one more scripture. Another final. Alright, can we look at Isaiah 14? Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel. I can't end without giving you those two. So, we have gone so far now. Let's just take it. I won't take time. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Because I just had the feeling that there are still some people who are not yet convinced of this throne in the heaven. And the scripture says, God's throne is in the heaven. If God's throne is in heaven, the devil's throne is also in the heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to also see this, where the scripture talks about it, so that it's not locked, that the brother said it, but you know, and you are convinced. What does this say? How are thou falling from heaven, O Hillel? That's the real name. Son of the morning. How are thou cast down to the ground with this weakening the nations? 13. For thou hast said, where? In thy heart. This is language in the heart. It's not spoken with the mouth. This is language in the heart. This is a deeper level now. Hallelujah. This is what the devil is thinking about you. Amen. I will do what? Ascend where? Into heaven. Remember we say heaven is in you. For he said, do not say there or there. For the kingdom of God is coming where? Within you. Amen. I will ascend into heaven. I will do what? Set my throne. What is a throne? A throne is a place of authority. An altar is a place where spirits exercise authority so that you can worship them. That's a throne. Amen. A throne is a place where offering is given to a spirit. And for you to have a throne, it must be dedicated. That is, one day it was established and it was strengthened and dedicated. It received strength. People began to worship, and as you worship it, you become stronger and stronger and stronger. That's the throne. That's an altar. So that altar becomes a throne, a place from where authority is exercised. Amen. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. The stars of God is another language for the sons of God, the saints of God. Amen. Look at it. I will do what? I will sit also. Where? upon the mount of the congregation.
Where?
In the sides of the north.
You know that song, Isaiah, Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for a situation, is what? Is Mount Zion. Where? On the sides of the north. So what he was saying is that, I will sit over Zion. I will be like God. I will set up my throne. Where is he talking about all this grammar? Where is this? He's speaking about your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. When you go to Matthew chapter 4, he came to the devil. Say he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Amen. He said, if you sit down and worship me, I will give it to you. When the devil submitted to the devil, so when Adam, he took over the kingdoms of the souls of men. All the sons of Adam began to walk in darkness. The first one was Cain, is it not? He went to a school of how to kill people. Brother, did he go to a school? How to kill people. Amen. He killed his brother. The defilement came from within him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So the scripture is very clear. If you want more, we can look at it. Let's go to this one. They say is the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Oh yeah, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Eh? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They say that one is Old Testament. Let's go and look at the New. Amen. Okay, what does it say? Verse 6. From verse where? Verse 3. Okay. All right, let's do from verse 3. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there be a falling away. That falling away means apostasy, a rebellion. All right? There come a rebellion, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Brother Paul talked about it in the morning, the son of perdition. Amen. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is what? Called God. Or that is what? Worshipped. So that he, as God, seated where? In my soul. In the souls of men. In the temple of God. Do what? Showing himself that is God. And commanding, demanding, receiving strength from the worship of the souls of men. Amen. It's in the old, it's in the new, it's everywhere. Hallelujah. This is the whole duty of man. He said, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? To do justice. Is it not? Ecclesiastes says, tell us the conclusion of the whole matter. The whole matter of God is what? That a man should fear God. Hallelujah. I don't know if anybody is looking for a direction in your life. You are looking for a purpose, a direction. You are looking for a reason. You are looking for a vision. There is a vacancy. Amen. There is one that is open. God is looking for sons of God who will enlist in the army of the Lord. This is an army against darkness. Are you interested? Are you interested? Or you want to have a good time? I'm going to have a good time. Sis, let's have a good time. You married your sister and you're having a good time. Praise God for you. When you are traveling, we'll pray for you. So they will protect you on the road. You come back with that God that he has given you a safe journey. When you want to do anywhere, you give us, we'll pray for you. But your life is falling short. You have not touched the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Gain the whole world, but you have fallen short. God put darkness in the soul that you might smite it. And yesterday they told us about smiting it. Hallelujah. May the vision of God not fall in our generation. You know, we sing that song. We say, our generation shall praise him. Maybe we're going to close with that song. Amen. When I sing it, I don't know if you know what I'm singing. I say, in my generation, darkness must be covered. Amen. That's my ambition. Say, God, in my lifetime, darkness must be rooted out. Amen. 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 That is the ambition of a soldier of Christ, of a saint of God. And when you make it your ambition, God will open heaven for you. That is, the bag of heaven will be at your request. Anything in what they will give you. Amen. There was a man like that, Nehemiah. Go to build Jerusalem. He saw Cyrus. Open everything. They say, anything he wants, give him. Let him go and behold the walls of Jerusalem. Don't you understand? When you line up with God's heartbeat, hey, you will become God's darling. Amen. He said, what shall be done for the man in whom God delights in? Hallelujah. What shall be done for such a man? His desire is God's desire. He said, someone say, Lord, the reason I live is to worship you. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is a strength. There is a place God is calling us to. Hallelujah. I don't know if we can stand. Amen. Do you mind if we stand? Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. My generation must praise him. Hallelujah. My generation must serve him. Hallelujah. My generation shall serve him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.